Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Labor Department this week will change the way it calculates the Producer Price Index, a gauge of U.S. inflation, to measure a much wider swath of the U.S. economy. Labor has adopted a new methodology for the index and will use it for the January data being released this Wednesday. The index formerly measured prices for finished goods and the materials that went into them, such as parts and raw materials, and now covers 75% of U.S. production, more than double the old index's reach by including services, exports, government purchases, and construction. Coca-Cola says its profit fell in the fourth quarter as it sold less soda in North America. Soda volume in the U.S. fell 3%, while non-carbonated drinks rose 4%. For the 3 months ending December 31st, Coca-Cola earned $1.71 billion, or 38 cents a share. A year ago, the company earned $1.87 billion, or 41 cents a share. Revenue fell to $11.04 billion. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 16,164. It's up 10.5 points. The NASDAQ, 4,262, up 18.5. The S&P 500 is 1,841, and it is up 3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Warm temperatures returned to a large part of the Midwest over the course of the weekend, and that was certainly welcome, but it was cold to begin with. And unfortunately, the warm-up is not going to last very long. Another polar vortex is expected to settle over the Hudson Bay area by this time next week, pumping a lot more cold air back across the nation's midsection and many areas in the Midwest as well. We expect the temperatures over the next few days to be fairly pleasant across the region, and temperatures over the weekend warmed up a little bit. The lowest temperatures this morning have been in the teens and 20s in the eastern Midwest, but there's some 30-degree low temperatures today, reaching all the way up into southwestern portions of Minnesota, and some 40-degree readings in Kansas. So that the warmer air is certainly present, and we will see an unusually warm day or two here across the Midwest, but enjoy it while you can. As I mentioned before, that polar vortex will likely form again across Hudson Bay and the eastern part of Canada as we move through the late weekend and early part of next week, and we'll likely see cold waves back moving across the Midwest through much of the week next week. So temperatures will be a lot colder. And we do have a significant winter storm brewing, possibly for Wednesday into Thursday. This storm system will probably wait until late Wednesday to get started, probably more significant on Thursday into Friday. During that period of time, a low-pressure center will form over Kansas and Missouri and march off towards the Great Lakes region. The storm system should produce a significant amount of snowfall from Nebraska and maybe northeastern Kansas into parts of Wisconsin. Snow accumulations could be in multiple inches, in fact, probably something of the order of 4 to 10 inches in general, and perhaps some localized amounts getting upwards over a foot in portions of Wisconsin and southeastern portions of Minnesota. And blizzard or near-blizzard conditions will come with that system. In the meantime, all the warm air that will be over the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest will help support a generalized rain event, and some locally strong thunderstorms will be possible, maybe even some severe weather in the lower portions of the Delta and into parts of the Tennessee River Basin. This will all occur as we move from Thursday into Friday morning, and we'll expect to see rain totals running 0.5 to 1.5 inches across many of these areas. The moisture content in the western Corn Belt will probably run anywhere from around 3/10 to around 8/10 of an inch, and some locally greater amounts. The far northwestern part of the Corn Belt, including the Dakotas and portions of western Minnesota, will probably not see much precipitation out of the event. Temperatures will be turning colder, but before they do, we'll have some more warm weather around. Temperatures this afternoon are expected to be in the 30s and 40s across many locations, and we'll likely see some 50 and some 60 degree readings occurring across the region from Kansas into parts of Kentucky. Even 70 and 80 degree highs will occur in the southern plains and portions of the delta over the next couple of days. Even the southeastern states will see some of that heat, and that's one of the reasons why severe thunderstorms will be possible as we finish out the work week, as that cold air comes into the region once again. We'll expect the high temperatures across the Midwest on Friday afternoon to be single digits and teens in the far northwest, teens and 20s across the interior northwest, and probably in the 30s and 40s across Michigan, while 40s and 50s, maybe even a couple of lower 60s, still linger in the extreme southernmost parts of the region. The cold polar vortex will likely see to it that most of next week stays colder than usual across a big part of the Midwest, and we'll have other bouts of light snowfall impacting the region as well. In the meantime, in South America, rain and thunderstorms will likely impact many areas in Argentina and Brazil over the coming week to 10 days, but northeastern Brazil will likely see the least amount of precipitation, and ongoing dryness will prevail there. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Want to avoid the long registration lines at our 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting? Call 217-333-7300 and order your tickets now for the March 4th event at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. They're $30, and along with a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch, you'll hear from Sue Martin and all our analysts on corn and soybean futures and cash grain marketing. And we'll also get the lowdown on land values for 2014 and look at the commodity title of the new farm bill. And you'll get a 25th anniversary commemorative hat marking the occasion. Call with your major credit card, 217-333-7300, and guarantee your spots. We'll mail your tickets to you. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 668 and a quarter up 2 1/4. Soft May, 598 and a quarter up 2. March corn, 446 up 3/4. July, 456 up 1. December, 461 up 1. And now 461 and a half up 1 3/4. March soybeans, 1359 up 21 and a half. July, 1325 and a quarter up 17 3/4. November, 1139 and a quarter up 8 3/4. March soybean meal, 457.80 up 7.80. March soybean oil, 39.94 up 79. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I had to tweak the board just a little bit this morning. Let's go ahead and talk about the markets. Pete, soybeans very much the star this morning.
Yes, they were that way last Thursday and Friday and last week, and then they dropped back 20 from their highs. Today, early, we got up to 54 only, and last week we'd been to 56.5. We just blew by that in the last 15 minutes to 59.25 on the March soybeans. New crop November's did not make a new high today. We hit 40.25 about 5 to 6 this morning, and then we have been back to 39 a couple times. We're 39.5 up 9 right now, and that's just fund buying and people buying whole crop beans, with South America producing the biggest crop ever and actually getting them exported fairly well.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. Usage is really good, but our prices here, we're very tight supplied, are higher than South America by over a dollar. Part of it is China waited too long to cancel, and they're stuck with about 6 to 8 loads that they're trying to resell. They canceled some last week, but they did it by buying next year's crop, and maybe they'll have to do that on the rest of these loads that they haven't been able to use or get rid of.
What do you make of the corn market today?
Corn market at 60 had been a barrier for December. We went above it and through it. If we stay above that, that's a positive sign. We could go another dime to 15, but 70 to 80 is about it as far as new crop corn prices right now, as far as what people are thinking.
And even the wheat market is the one that's gotten beaten up the most over the last several months, truly, is making a turn.
Yeah, we're over $6. If we can stay above $6, that'll be a big turn. If not, we drop back below the $6, that'll be a failed attempt again. And we did touch $6 early, and we backed, we went to $6.04 on July. We went right back to $6. Here we are back at $6.03. So it just depends on the rest of the day and where we end up.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Let's look at the current tick in the marketplace. March corn, 446 and a quarter, up one. December, 461 and a quarter, up one and a half. March soybeans, 1357, and they're up 19 and a half. July is 1323 and three quarters, up 16 and a quarter. November is 1139, up 8 and a half. March soybean meal, 457.20, up 7.20. March soybean oil, 39.90, up 75 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.